Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And Aaron Smith on the top of the key for Maryland. Down low, guess who's wide open? A slam dunk for Julian Reese.
Rice.
When he was playing for Texas
Rice
Southern.
From three.
And Rodney Rice drops in his second triple in a row. He's got double figures with 10.
Whoa.
And Queen goes down the lane. Got a nice bounce pass, and he dunks it with two hands. So back-to-back buckets by the freshman from Baltimore.
Maryland Church win over Florida A&M last night. 84-53. Joining us right now, head basketball coach for those Terps, Kevin Willett. What's going on, Coach?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, man. I know you don't, coaches don't like to admit it. And it's almost, we're against it. You don't want to admit it. It looks like you're having some fun right now. You're having fun so far. We're only three games in, but it looks like you're having fun.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this group from a defensive intensity standpoint has been really fun to coach because, we've been able to do a lot of different things on the defensive end. And, every guy that comes in has really kind of picked up our defensive intensity. So, we're scoring off turnovers, which we really struggled with last year, and everyone's just giving great effort.
So now that you have a new big man, obviously, that we're pretty excited about, how do you feel like that as the season progresses? Is this team, people are excited about Maryland basketball, obviously. Are they going to surprise people this year and even be better than people assumed?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I still think we're struggling a little bit offensively. I'm playing so many guys right now that I think a lot of guys are having trouble getting into a rhythm offensively. But with Derek and Juju out there down low, it gives us two guys that can, when you're struggling to score, that can really get a basket. And I think the addition of Rodney Rice and Jacoby Gillespie is really, when they're both in the backcourt together, give us two guys that can create offense for other guys. So as these guys try to figure each other out still a little bit, try to figure out the system, I think they're going to continue to improve.
Coach, for me, you have two early tests before conference play starts, one of them coming up this weekend, or Friday, I should say, with Marquette. What are your thoughts on Marquette, and what do you know about them so far?
Yeah, I mean, Marquette is going to be a big challenge. I think they return one of the most dynamic scorers in college basketball in Cam Jones. He's averaging 23 points a game in three games. And Shaka's teams, from a defensive standpoint, they've been elite so far, a top five in the defense. So for us, figuring out the offensive end, continue to play in the defensive end, and doing a job on Cam Jones is going to be a big test.
Here with head basketball coach for the Maryland Terps, Kevin Willett, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Coach, tell me all about Rodney Rice. He's coming in this year, averaging about 17 points a game. Tell us about the sophomore from Clinton, Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, Rodney was one guy that when we went to the portal, we knew we needed some guys that could really shoot the basketball. But what I really liked about Rodney's game was his attitude. He'd taken a year off from basketball because of an injury. He really had a desire to come back and show everybody what type of basketball player he can be. He just had a real hunger to go out and prove everybody wrong that was saying that he couldn't do things. And he's put a tremendous amount of hard work in, and he's shooting the basketball really well for us.
He can shoot the three.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's shooting 41% from three, which last year it would have led us by about 20 percentage points. So just having a guy out there that can really stretch the floor has helped us tremendously.
How deep do you think you're going to be I know early you're figuring out some rotation stuff, seeing what works. How deep do you think you'll be once we get the conference play, or does it take a little bit longer than that to figure that out?
No, I mean, I'm trying hopefully get it figured out by Friday. I'm really comfortable going nine deep right now. I think, nine guys coming in. They're all a little bit different. They all kind of pick us up a different way. We've been playing 11, 12 guys, and everyone that's gone out there has done good things. So I think that's more than anything what I like about this roster is we're not stuck with just one style way to play. We can go a little bit smaller, which we've done so far early on, or obviously we can go big with Derek and Ju. So it gives us different combinations that we can throw at teams.
Coach, loving how this team is playing right now. And it looked to be a lot more, I guess, that killer instincts, a closeout than we've had in years past.
Yeah, I do. You know, obviously we're older. Last year we were a little bit younger, especially coming off the bench, which I think hurt us a little bit, just because, you know, freshmen haven't been through as many games as older guys. So we have guys like Celton Miguel, who, you know, fifth year senior. Jacoby is a junior. So everyone's a little bit older. Everyone's been through it, understands what you have to do to win games. And when you get experienced guys, even though they're all from all different schools, I think they understand when a game gets tight or when they're on a run, you know, they understand what to do much more than what a freshman does.
Talking about freshmen, when Derek had that, you know, the 20 rebound game in the opener, the Washington Post comes out and says, you know, he only adds fuel to the hype as Maryland rolls, et cetera, et cetera. How tough is it for a freshman to come out, you know, out of high school, no matter which one it is, to major Division I college basketball?
Well, I you know, it's what's great about Derek. He has an unbelievable support system. His mother is one of the most phenomenal people I've ever met. Everyone around him, and he has a very tight, close-knit circle, has really helped him stay grounded. And I think what's great about Derek is he's very focused on where he wants to get to. So he's kind of had hype his whole career, mm-hmm. and I think he has a good support system around him that kind of understands how to navigate this.
Hey, real quick, I just wanted to ask about the 7-footer. I don't know how you stole one away from Purdue. You're tall and have an opportunity to play basketball. Usually Purdue's going to grab you. And I don't like calling anybody a project. He's clearly talented. But what can you tell us about Braden Pierce?
Yeah, Braden redshirted last year. And halfway through the year last year, we were wishing he didn't redshirt just because he was starting to really kind of develop into the player we thought he can. Braden's got great soft touch, really good hands. Was a phenomenal pitcher, believe it or not, was going to be a pitcher, and then threw his arm out, and since being 7 foot, he decided to go play basketball, but was really a good pitcher. So he's a guy that's really not a project. He's going to get some minutes this year. We're excited about Braden for the future.
Coach, good luck against Marquette, I should say, on Friday night. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Always good to be with you.
Always. Man, the sign of the times, Jay Young. You looked at his stats yet?
No, I mean, I haven't really paid attention to the stats. I got a chance to watch these guys. I thought they would handle business last night. They did. They were, depending on where you got it, they were like 32, 33-point favorites, and they win by 31.
Jay Young is a senior out of Dallas, Texas. This is 13. Mm. Central Florida.
Grambling State.
Memphis. He played at Grambling?
What am I saying? A grad student, Dallas. I saw Garland High School, Grambling State, Baton Rouge Community College, Central Florida, Memphis.
So Grambling State's not on here. So this is his fifth college, counting the community college.
Man, making my way around.
Hey, yeah, man.
He's been everywhere, man.
He's young.
Johnny Cash sang a song about
him. He wants to explore.
Him.
Nothing wrong with that. He wants to explore. He's a graduate already?
I just closed off it.
No. I thought you said grad already. Hobbs said they'll overturn every stone to fix the defense. But what did he have in mind exactly? But on the other side, Jeremy Kahn, Daily Line.
Yeah, we'll get into it. I had a rough Sunday, but yesterday was better. Winning day Friday, winning day Saturday, like nice winning days. And then last night went 3-2 on my top plays. I'll tell you what went right, what went wrong. And we have NBA, college hoops. There's a lot in college I like, and there's two huge games tonight. And, of course, college football. I'll break it all down for you coming up next here on The Fan.
The Big Bad Daily Line. 105.7 The Fan.
Tua under center. Tight end in motion. There's the snap. It's the end around. Coming to Washington 20. Got a pop 15. Numbers 10. Near sideline 5. Pylon dive. Touchdown. Miami. Oh, what a statement. On the game opening drive, they go 70 yards. And an 18-yard touchdown run by Malik Washington, the celebrated rookie out of Virginia.
There you go. That's courtesy of Westwood One. I was on the Dolphins last night. I think I'm the only one here that picked them to win, but that may be the only one that I got right that I was lone wolf.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
And it's funny because my other two upsets this week were the Colts, and then Joe Flacco starts the game off with a pick six. I don't know how many finished with three. And then I had the Texans upsetting the Lions. Now, they covered, but they didn't win. They were beating their ass the whole game. Unbelievable. NFL has been so weird trying to figure this stuff out. I'm always glad when we get away from it. Honest to God, I'm glad when we have a Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday slate with no NFL on it, because it's been drunk this year. Yesterday, again, as I pointed out, I went 3-2 in my top plays. I'm really pissed that I didn't go 4-1. This is the NBA for you, though. So I had the Bulls over last night as they played the Cavs. And they scored, I think it was 130-some points in the first half. So in the second half, I needed just around 100 points. We didn't get there. How do you go from this fast pace, making all the shots, to just missing everything in the second half? And I know it's basketball. It's weird how things, you know, come down. But that was a loss for me. Hit a bunch of college basketball games. His last night was a good night. Missed on Virginia, though. I got to say this. I'm not – Coppin State looks awful, man. Anybody else, like, locally, basketball-wise?
Yeah.
They've gotten smoked a couple of times. They actually played better at Virginia, but they only scored 48 points in the game. Virginia just couldn't score. We'd like to see how their season goes, and I know the tough part of it, you're playing early, you're playing some other schools, but whew, buddy. All right, let's get to today, because there's a lot that I want to go over here quickly. In the NHL, I'm not betting on it. There's a big matchup between Winnipeg and the Rangers tonight, Ed.
Let me tell you, Winnipeg is... they're hot as hell right now. I mean, the Rangers are a good team, but Winnipeg is just hot. I think they're 14-1. That's it. No overtime losses. Last I looked, let me just check. 14-1. No overtime. Yeah, 28 points. It's just blowing everybody away.
It's funny. Last night, I gave out the Stars and Penguins over as the top play. Mm-hmm. They scored 6 goals in the second period. So I felt pretty good about that one.
Well, you should.
6 goals. I had the Citadel yesterday, and I called the Spurs knocking off the Kings, which went in my favor. But with today, I like New Jersey and Florida to go over 6.5. It's my only NHL play. College football, I'm going to be on Toledo, and I like the Western Michigan over. Toledo would be my favorite play of those two. Let me go to the NBA, because there's more in college basketball and 2 games I want to talk with Rob about. I like the Bucks tonight. I know they've been struggling. They get the Raptors coming off of a West Coast trip. The Raptors, they're dreadful. They're downright dreadful. But the Bucks are a tough sell at -7.5, which is something I didn't think I'd be saying. But they need Chris Middleton back quickly, and they need to make a move to try to better this team. Just not working out.
You know, that's twice in the past, 4 or 5 years that Chris Middleton has been the one to the rescue.
Yeah.
Twice.
You know, we talked about DeMar DeRozan the other day being a mid-range. Was it us talking about a mid-range shooter? It's the same thing applies in the situation with Chris Middleton. He shoots threes, but he was always that guy filling it up. Elbow jump shots.
Right.
You know, like the old ISO Joe, takes you off the dribble and boom.
He's a bucket.
Exactly.
He's a bucket.
I like Phoenix and Utah to go over the 228.5. If you missed it, Kevin Durant's out for a while with a calf strain. By the way, there was some audio of Kevin Durant was yelling at Yusuf Nurkic, pass the damn ball, man. We're a team. I went, that's interesting. I love the fact he's speaking up.
We're a team of me.
Pass it to me. I like the Pistons tonight +1.5 against the Heat. Now, college basketball, some of my favorite plays tonight. I love LaSalle -4 against Cornell. I had a play on Cornell over the weekend with their over. Cornell scores in the 90s routinely. It's one of the fastest-paced teams, especially for an Ivy League school. But I like LaSalle to knock them off. I get a little choked up talking about them. Monmouth and Northern Illinois, I like it to go over the 151.5. I like Villanova and St. Joe's to go over the 144.5. And the highest total on the slate, Iowa and South Dakota, 173.5. Over. Fast-paced game. I can't guarantee anything. I'd be willing to bet that this game scored in the 180s to 190s tonight. It's just going to be unbelievable. And the best part about this, too, is Iowa's favored by 17 points. They just don't stop scoring when they get ahead. So I'm not worried about the blowout and the game slowing down because they all play the same. Give me the over there. And I like Duke tonight, -6.5. So we got 2 big games. Duke is taking on Kentucky. These are neutral sites. So, and then Michigan State's taking on Kansas. Duke is a 6.5-point favorite. Kansas is a 6.5-point favorite as well. I would lean Michigan State. Didn't make it a play. But I like Duke. I'm looking forward to watching Duke play Kentucky tonight. So there you go.
It's that time of the year, man, where you enjoy watching those neutral site cross-country games. Man, I love it. I love it. College basketball, college football is going to get to that point also because of the playoffs. The college basketball teams, man, they don't duck smoke.
No.
They come at you early in the season. Make that money.
because you got plenty of opportunities to make it up if you do lose. And I think it looks better on your resume when you're playing tough teams.
Who wants to be number one in the country until it takes to mean something?
Well, I had, so here's something funny for you. I had I went 4-1 in my top plays on Saturday, and I had this long write up about Louisville. Louisville was, I told you this story. Louisville is hosting Tennessee. Tennessee's ranked in the top 12. Louisville's not ranked, and Louisville was favored by 1.5. To which I'm telling people, I said, look, the reason Tennessee's ranked is because they were really good last year. They were ranked last year. They did lose some pieces, mainly Dalton Connect to the NBA. And this Louisville team reminds me of Tennessee last year. And I thought they were going to beat them. And then Louisville comes out and just can't make a shot.
How do you pronounce capital Kentucky?
Louisville.
Well, I think it's Frankfurt, but...
Oh, you son of a... Shut up, Ed. Anyway, the point is, so I had this whole write, I mean, I had this long write-up about it, and it's the first game of the day, and I'm watching it going, you guys didn't score a point in the first 5 minutes. You didn't you barely scored in the first 8 minutes of the game. They fell behind by 20, cut it to 7, but that was as close as they got. Frankfurt.
Let's go out to Woodbury and get Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey, tell Jerry, look, tell Jerry, look up this word, continuity. Hey, man, I want to ask y'all, who do you want to play for? Hey, Rob, I would play for you because the type of person you are, and I'm saying the coach that you are. And I'm thinking about that at one time in the Ravens' history, people came, other players, wanted to come to the Ravens to play with and for who? One for the coach. It was for Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis earned that manhood because you think about it, in that first Super Bowl, he wasn't divorced. It was the people that were surrounding him, you know, those veterans that they brought in. Then as the years went on, he became the voice of the team. Right now, who is on the defense that people will want to come and play for? We know people want to come to the Ravens to play for who? Lamar Jackson. This is on offense. But who is the voice of the defense? We don't have a voice. We don't have continuity. And I'm just wondering, is that why? Now, I know if the coaches were better than what they are, I'm saying the defensive coaches, all the positions, a player wants to play for that coach.
I'll say this, Joe. I hear what you're saying, but coming off of last year, the heels of last year, and how good that defense is, I think Roquan Smith is a guy people would have wanted to play for. They're not good this year, so we can say that. But coming into this year, I think Roquan Smith is a guy that you want to line up next to and play with. Just right now, they're not very good. I'm not sure it's the players, to be quite honest with you. I'm not. By the way, thanks a lot, Joe. We don't have any full scholarships left.
Yeah, I can't play.
But I'll give you a call. I'll give you a call, Joe. We don't have any full rides left, but we'll call you.
I don't have any eligibility left, and I'm male. I can't play for you.
Damn.
Sorry.
One of those two is true.
You don't need a chubby point guard.
One of those two is true. Joe LaCroix, Art Gordon, 945, but on the other side, John Harbaugh said he would overturn every stone to fix the D. But in your mind, what is the first thing that he should do? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the...
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fan. Jamar Chase is pretty good, so that's one reason. If you're looking for the house, you know, I think he does a good job, and that's where it starts, as a talented person, but way too much, way too many. And it really comes down to how we're playing. You know, it comes down to us. We got to play our coverages better in those situations. Deep part of the field, especially the deep middle and the intermediate middle part of the field, are the areas that have been a problem for us. Just very inconsistent back there in that sense.
Very inconsistent. Jamar Chase beats up with a lot of people, but not like he did on the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. Ravens defense has been a problem an entire year, Ed. This is not new. New problems will arise every week the way this is going. We can speculate whether it's players or scheme. Enough with the speculation. These guys are in practice every day, meaning the coaches, the ones who work harder than everybody, according to Rex Ryan. Well, work on this and fix it.
Yeah, fix it. Fix it at least to the point where, you know, it's not awful. Because I tell you, if you had just a little bit of improvement in the defense with this offense, you think about how this would be a juggernaut. I mean, this offense is incredible. But you shouldn't have to score 35 to 41 points a game just, you know, to eke out a victory. And I mean, eke out victories.
Well, it was funny because Rob pointed out, they were talking about it on the TV, that said Lamar will overcome this defense and win the Super Bowl is fact or fiction. Yeah. And it's weird because we're all looking at saying, okay, I saw Jeff Saturday said fiction. But it's such a horrible thing to look at it and say, man, you have the best offense in the league and you have to overcome something on your team. I mean, everybody has weaknesses, but this is off the charts ridiculous.
It's stunning. It really is. As you call them, warts. They do. Everybody has warts. But, you know, the defense, I've never seen a defense this bad. What's the first thing you would change, Ed?
Oh, gosh.
Overturning every stone, what do you change?
I mean, I would improve the pass rush by any means necessary. I mean, now that the trade deadline's come and gone, I don't know what you do, but I'd bring although they did bring in a pass rush specialist, and it helped. I don't know. I honestly don't like coaching changes midseason. I don't think they're going to change right now anyway. My question would be, if Zach wasn't a former Ravens player.
For Harbaugh.
Would he get this long a leash?
So was Anthony Weaver, but not for Harbaugh.
Right.
And Anthony Weaver was a better selection. Yeah. I thought so then. I still think so now.
I just think, I don't know if they'd be so patient. That's all.
You're right, Ed. 100% right. Winning teams can't make coaching changes right now. We see the Bears just fired their OC. They're not a winning team. Winning teams can't do that because it could be earth-shattering to the locker room. But you know what I would change, Jeremy? As the head coach? The amount of time that I spent with the defensive coordinator and the defensive side of the ball, I would spend more. I would make sure everything was taken care of, every I dotted, every T crossed. Forget about turning over stones. I would change the amount of time for the rest of the season that I spent with defense to make sure that we were getting the right message across in practice.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the first thing you do is go to Dean Pease and say, hey, can we get the cornerbacks in a little bit closer instead of being 10 yards off? No.
Yeah. But you're serious, though. I'm serious.
I'm glad you asked Ed the question because I don't have an answer for you what they can do. I think this is what you have. You can blitz a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You can mix up your defense and try to confuse other quarterbacks. But if you – and again, it's weird because, like, this is something we talked about last week with the pressure that they're getting. It's one thing to get pressure, but if you don't get there, there are so many quarterbacks in this league that create extra time. You pressured him, but he did what he was supposed to do. He rolled out and completed the ball down the field because your guys can't cover. So it's a catch-22, man. I don't know that you can get anything done here the way it's established now. I did see that they were in on a couple of different players that they didn't get, which was nice to see, one of which being Jadeveon Clowney. But I still think they need that upper echelon pass rusher that's going to get there that doesn't make these guys cover for as long as they do.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Let's go to the phone lines. Marcus in Baltimore. What's up, Marcus?
How are we doing, guys?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to say I wish some things he wouldn't have done. I want him to, like, guys, because it don't seem to be, like, working. Like, when you hire, like, his guys, like, I never liked the Dean Pease thing because you fired Dean Pease because of exactly what's going on right now. Your cornerbacks are sitting 10 yards off because Dean Pease's philosophy is like, bend, don't break. You leave everything underneath, you know what I mean? Run past, they run past. But they're not doing that. Another thing I do is, like, put Brandon Stevenson on punishment like you did Marcus Williams because he ain't doing the job. Like, he keeps hiring his guys, and most of his guys in over his head. Like, the Munkin wasn't trained, if I'm not mistaken. That's working out.
Hey, Marcus, real quick, just to correct you, everything you said, I'm spot on, but Dean Pease was not fired. He retired, because if you remember, he came back with the Titans, and we were pretty upset with him. He didn't get fired.
You're right. I apologize.
Yeah.
But that's all I wanted to say. You guys have a good one.
I'm with you on everything else, though. Yeah. I am. I mean, spot on. I don't like the Dean Pease philosophy either. I was happy when he retired. And why was upset when he came back with the Titans? People around here were upset. Why would he do that? Why do you care? Seriously, why do you care that he did that?
Well, the other thing that we don't know, too, is like when we talk about – sometimes I know teams will allow guys to leave on their own so they don't deal with the embarrassment of getting fired. I don't know that that was a situation there, but it was kind of odd because then his son got the job and it's like, well, I want to go work with him. Okay. Cool. But again, with this team – it doesn't make a lot of sense, and I still think it was so much scheme last year because I was just telling you guys, Geno Stone has missed the second most tackles amongst all safeties in the league, and when he was here, he looked damn near perfect in this system, didn't he? So maybe it's just having the right pieces. Maybe it's the right philosophy. Marlon Humphrey can say it's not the coaching.
Who looked damn near perfect?
Huh?
Who looked damn near perfect?
Geno Stone in this system.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I heard something else.
Yeah. So
it's all about putting people in the right place to be successful.
Yeah, putting them in the right situation. That's what we've talked about, with especially with young quarterbacks when they go to teams, going to the right coach, the right organization, and maybe even having the right offensive line in front of you is going to keep you upright in the league and give you a chance to succeed. Yeah. Succeed. Yeah. So, you know, like it's just frustrating to see this, because whereas you look at something saying, what's going to hold the Ravens back from winning this? And a lot of people would, in years past, say, well, Lamar's going to choke in the playoffs, which is just BS. But you're going to have a situation now where you're going to need your defense to get you stops. And I don't know that anyone has confidence in that.
No.
Nope.
I have none. I have none. I don't think I'm being.
It's such an odd position to be in, though, with this team. Because after, you know, I'm a fan since I'm a fan for 25 years, right? I've never been in this position where it's like, it's not, they've had down years in defense where they weren't as good, but usually it's a top 10, top 5 defense, best in the.
Almost this bad is, when it's 10.
Right. Yeah. Disappointing. Yeah. This is like, what? Like,
it's rough.
Let's go to Spencer in Baltimore. What's up, Spencer?
Hey.
Hey.
Quick, I want to know this.
Mm-hmm.
When do it get to the point of physics? We drafting safeties or hiring safeties that are the same size as DBs. When are we? Sean Taylor was 6'2", 225. When are we? Other than Kyle, when we got help? We got Kyle playing.
Who has safeties that big now, Spencer? Who has safeties?
There's not
that
many
big?
Sean Taylor.
Because linebackers are now the size of Sean Taylor. That's across the league. Because you have to be able to.
Cover
the pass game. So they're not that big anymore, Spencer. That's not a Ravens issue. That's like saying, why are running back smaller? Why wide receiver? Yo, everybody you is bigger, faster, stronger. It's fine, but big muscles, not necessarily big people.
I'm trying to think of how many like just big safeties there are. Like Brandon Browner was one with the
Tyrann Mathieu. No, he's 5'8".
Like a lot of the guys are. I guess you can call them undersized, but it just feels like normal size for safety.
It doesn't matter now. That's what they, you know, that's what size is called for.
They're not as big at those positions, the covering positions.
Look, how about Bob Sanders? That guy sucked, right?
Bullet Bob Sanders, he was 5'8". 5'8"
on a good day.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that's not a Ravens issue. By the way, Kyle Hamilton is 6'4", 224.
Yeah.
So they're not draft. Okay. Bo Braid is 209. Eddie Jackson is 202. Kane is 210. Washington is 180. Marcus Williams is 204. Kyle Hamilton is 224. They're not drafting them the same size. These guys are all different sizes.
Derrick Henry outweighs every linebacking core that he faces this year. There's no more 260-pound linebackers. Seriously.
You got to get faster.
You got to get faster. You got that guy's with 230 now, 225.
I don't think the guy's wrong with looking for big safeties that can run. But they're hard to find. Yeah. And then again, if you have one that's really good, they're probably going to go in the first round.
Like Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan. Yeah, I think I'll be off today, man. It's got the wrong underwear on.
I'll take it. I like this 4-day week. It's a good idea.
4-day work week.
Mm-hmm.
Other countries have that.
Yeah, a lot of them. A lot of people in this country have that.
But they have 10-hour days, though.
Whatever. Well, we can do like our sales staff here. You know.
Uh-oh.
What do they do?
Uh-oh. I have no idea.
Oh.
Are you calling our sales staff the NCAA?
What do you do here?
Actually, I'm calling them the NBA.
Oh,
no. There's a lot of load management going on here.
What is it? Almost a holiday? Yeah, we get off for almost holidays.
What's the? It's Tuesday. They're here today.
Yeah. They got a meeting today.
Today's the big day.
Yeah.
This is the big day here.
We want you guys to get out there and sell. Sell. Thanks for the meeting. Guess where we're going? To sell. It's like, come on, man. Every day, like you walk out of here on a Tuesday around 9 o'clock, either you're going to the bathroom, get something to drink, and then you hear some noise over there. So I walk over, it's like, yeah, it's a sales meeting. Sounds like the one last week.
Man. And that's the encore for the day.
Kind of like our meetings.
How?
Huh?
How?
The same time every week.
Okay.
Actually, that's not even true. We don't even know when we walk by. Are we meeting today? No.
Come in, shut the door.
No, but come in, shut the door.
And then yell. So bring me to you anyway.
You know, the last caller that talked about safeties, what did he say? Sean Taylor was, was it 6'4", 225 or whatever it was, which he, at the end of his career, wasn't that big. He used the one safety that was huge to bring a point.
Yeah.
But he forgot to use the safety that played here that was regarded as arguably the greatest of all time, Ed Reed, who was 5'11", 205.
Well, the problem I had is that the safety that he brought up for comparison has been dead for so long and hasn't played in the league. And for it, you couldn't come up with somebody recent?
Well, yes, because number one, he played a while. It has changed a lot because the safeties were bigger. They were like just a little bit downsized from a linebacker. Like John Lynch was 6'2", 220, 230. You mentioned Sean Taylor. These guys, they were big, hard-hitting safeties. It's not the game anymore. Linebackers are smaller.
Yeah.
You just...
Let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go to Nate in Baltimore. What's up, Nate?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Not a question, but Bart Scott, a couple of, maybe a week ago, made a comment in reference to the defense on one of the ESPN shows. And he said that the best way to weaken a team is to strip them of their coaches. And he said the reason you do that is because the players can't learn. So Geno Stone led us, I think he led the league in interceptions last year. I'm not sure, but I think he did. And I think he's by far probably the less athletic of all the DBs. So I think the scheme fit the team well for being a top 10 defense last year. We lost, what, four coaches? We lost the, from a top 10 defense, we lost the defensive coordinator, Mike. We lost Weaver, linebacker coach. We lost another DB coach. So it looks like these guys aren't learning from mistakes from week to week to week because there's nobody to teach them correctly.
Well, those coaches replaced other people, Nate, and they did fine for the people before them and these people. It's your job as an organization to hire the right coaches. Coaches leave all the time, man, especially assistants. That's what happens. Why are we acting like this is new?
It's funny. Fans are the only people that expect these guys to be loyal to them for whatever reason. When if the organization's not loyal to them, or why would you expect that?
It's a sign of a good organization when the coaches are gone. And not fired, but get better jobs elsewhere because people pluck your tree.
But why are we acting like this never happens?
It happens all the time.
Oh, especially in this organization. Yeah. Now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. What you learned today, Ed?
Well, I learned it's one day from my event tomorrow night. I just want to talk about that for a second because it is tomorrow, and that is the Woodholm event.
The Woodholm
Sports Talk, Baltimore Sports Talk. But this is a great event, and tickets are still available if you want them because it's just cocktails and conversations with some of the best sports writers and the Ravens general manager. Eric DaCosta is going to be there. He'll be there with Chad Steele. So he's going to have some really fun conversation. You can ask questions. When's the next time you're going to be around these guys? Seriously. I just think it's a great event. It's going to be the Woodholm Country Club tomorrow night, the 13th, 6 to 8 p.m. If you want tickets, mwph.org/events. It's mwph.org/events. I'll be moderating this. Rich Dubroff's going to be there. Peter Schmuck, I said Chad Steele, and of course Eric DaCosta. So it's a great event if you want to have a couple of drinks and talk to all of us.
A couple of national days. Today is National French Dip Day. You like French dip sandwiches?
Yeah,
yeah. No, I'm not a fan. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the au jus. I'm not. Today is also National Chicken Soup for the Soul Day. But I love chicken noodle soup. Love it. And today is also National Pizza with the Works, except Anchovies Day. That's actually what it's named.
Does it really?
National Pizza with the Works, except Anchovies Day.
Thank goodness.
Chicken noodle soup.
Gosh, I hate
chicken
anchovies.
Chicken noodle soup.
With a soda on the side.
Little hairy fish.
I'm not, when I ate pork, I would eat, I'd never like the Works, though. I want a meat lover's pizza. Mm-hmm. I love those. But I don't like vegetables and stuff on my pizza.
I think everything except anchovies and black olives.
Birthdays in sports. Today is Al Michaels' 80th birthday. Greg Gagne, former reliever, 63rd birthday. Gerald Perry turns 60 today. Former heavyweight champion Michael Moore. Remember him? Was he heavyweight or light heavyweight?
Heavyweight.
He was heavyweight?
Because he ended up fighting Foreman, right?
All right. He did.
Yeah.
Well, I think he went from light heavyweight
to
heavyweight.
He did, though. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he did.
He turns 57 today.
Foreman knocked his ass out, right?
What a quickness. Jason Day turns 37 today, and Russell Westbrook turns 36 today. Sammy Sosa and Tonya Harding share a birthday.
This is good.
Who's older, Ed?
Are we going by Sammy Sosa's real age or the age that he have on his baseball card?
That he have. That's on his
what
website.
Race is he now?
What race is he?
Yeah. Alien. Is it the alien race?
Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding's older, okay?
Sosa.
Sosa's older. Joe, you know both of these people. Who's older?
Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding. Today, Tonya Harding turns 54. Sammy Sosa turns 56.
Ah.
Losers. She hits better than he does, though.
Yeah. Now she gets somebody else to hit for her.
That's true. But Michael Moore was a light heavyweight also.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
He just moved up to fight. Because I know Foreman didn't move down.
You should have never came back.
He held the title. He was light heavyweight champ.
Yeah.
I think Holyfield beat him, I think, for the light heavyweight title.
Did you, any of you guys hear about the chef that died?
No.
No.
He passed away? Guys, we can only do so much. His legacy will become a pizza history.
Cannoli pizza. Yeah, I got it.
By the way, if anyone gets a message from me about canned meat, don't open it. It's spam. My kids.
This is like Johnny Carson doing jokes because he's laughing before he delivers the punchline.
This one's good. My kids say they want a cat for Christmas. Normally I do a turkey, but hey, if it'll make them happy.
And they made fun of Vance for that.
I once dated a Russian doll, but she was full of herself. My new girlfriend was bummed when she put her hands down my pants and only discovered that I have one small ball. She's feeling a little testy. Let's see if this one works. I was sued by Bill Gates last time I went to a nudist beach in Scotland. Turns out Microsoft is copyrighted. Hello. Where was it? I had another one here that I wanted to get. Here you go. I once dated an eccentric girl who used to hoard magazines. She had so many issues. Last one. A man walks into a library and asks the librarian for books on paranoia. The librarian replies, "They're behind you."
Vinny and Hedy up next.
Vinny's crawling through the window right now.
Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Taco Tuesday.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.